So I left my homily notes in the confessional. But I had the Mass last night, so hopefully I remember most of it. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. He was recently beatified by Pope John Paul II. He was a layman, a young Italian man, died at the age of 24. He's been given the title, the handsomest saint in heaven. So if any ladies don't know about him, you might want to check him out. The most handsome saint in heaven. He was from one of the most wealthiest families in all of Italy, the third most influential family. When he died, after his passing, his parents were going through his stuff, and they found he kept very, very detailed records of how he would spend money. Everything that he received from his parents, almost everything he gave away, and they found that he was providing for over 125 poor families. Clothing, food, rent, their children's tuition at the age of 21 years old. At the age of 24, he contracted polio by visiting a poor man with that disease. The night before he died, he asked his sister, he said, "Will you go grab my jacket?" Now, with polio, he was almost paralyzed. She grabs his jacket and she's wondering, "Why would you ask me to do that?" He says, there's a little slab of paper in the pocket. Will you please get it out?" She pulls it out and it's a receipt from the pharmacy. He said, "Will you please have that prescription refilled? It's for a poor man named Conservo. Put it on my account." The last act of his entire life, he died the next day. At the age of 18, his dad bought him a brand new car. He sold it that day and gave all the money to the St. Vincent de Paul Society. A young man who had absolutely everything you could imagine, and he gave it all away. This last week, I was on this priest's retreat week with the bishop and all the priests in the diocese, and I had a chance to listen to a CD that I listened to years ago. An American diocesan priest named Father Tim Dieter, he tells the story about a young man that was in the seminary with him, a year behind him. This young man, he was very popular in high school. He was a partier. He was the captain of the basketball team. To the shock of everybody, he announces he's going to enter the seminary the next year. So he says what was even more surprising is when he got to the seminary, he didn't leave his old life behind. He visits his room the first day and he sees that he's put in wall-to-wall carpet. He's got a TV, a fridge, a stereo, a Cutty Sark whiskey poster on the wall, and Playboy magazines. It was the party room for the entire year. This guy's thinking, he's going to get kicked out for sure. Well, at the end of that first year, they're having a retreat before summer break. On the final day of the retreat, the priest was celebrating Mass. He says, "Does anyone have any special intentions to offer?" And you know, one guy says, "Oh, pray for the Pope or the souls in purgatory." And this young man, Brian Walsh, he says, "Lord, I want to ask for your forgiveness. I've realized on this retreat that I've wasted my life up until this point. I've deceived my parents. I've deceived this seminary. And Lord, I've tried to deceive you. And I want to change my life. I want to follow you with all my heart." This priest said, some of the seminarians started chuckling, "Oh, Brian, who are you kidding?" Well, they came back the next year and they go to visit his room again for the next party and everything's gone. He had sold his car, he'd gotten rid of all of it. Well, during that year, one day, this now ordained priest, he said he walked into the church, then he sees Brian kneeling up right in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Then Brian hears him come in and he's kind of embarrassed and he's walking out. And he just says to this now priest, he said, "You know, have you ever thought about it? Our Lord's love and His humility, that He waits in the tabernacle all day, every day for us to visit Him?" That next summer, he gets an assignment at a poor parish with two priests. And these priests tell at the end of the summer that he gave away all his clothing. And when he ran out of his own clothes, they found that he would take their clothing from their drawers in their room. One day they came back and their pillows were gone from their bed. One day they came home and the maid, the lady who made their meal, the meal was gone. He distributed it to the homeless. Well, the final act was one night that one of the priests was coming downstairs to get a glass of milk in the middle of the night. And Brian had let a homeless man in to sleep on the couch. And the homeless man is awoken and he's startled and he just reaches and grabs an ashtray and throws it across the room. And it hits this priest in the eye and almost puts his eye out. So the next day, the priests have to sit down with Brian. They say, you know, I'm sorry, what you're doing, we understand it, it's beautiful, but we don't live that life. You know, maybe you're called elsewhere. At this time in the 70s, nobody really had heard of Mother Teresa. So Tim tracks her down, goes to Calcutta, and she sends him to Cambodia to work with some of his priests. He's there a short time. The communist regime comes in to take over the country. All the Americans flee except for two, Brian and a naval aviator. And it's national news. This seminarian is in Cambodia at this time. He writes a letter to the seminary, to all his seminary friends, and he says this. He said, "If they ask me to leave, I will stay. I feel our Lord is calling me to mingle my blood with His for the salvation of the souls of these people." One night, the authorities find out about a private mass that's taking place in the middle of the night, and Brian is there, and as an example, they take him outside and they chop off his head. I thought of him when I read our Lord's words today. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. My brothers and sisters, if someone asks you what your definition of greatness is, how would you respond? What is it that makes a person great? Would part of your definition include to be the servant of all and the slave of all? Mine wouldn't either. But it ought to. If we are truly seeking to be our Lord's disciples. I was at my brother's last night, and this wasn't part of last night's homily. I was at my brother's last night. He saved the Notre Dame-USC game. Notre Dame won, thanks be to God. And we sit down, and he's so excited, and right as he turns the game on, Leah goes, "Oh, Matt," or his wife, "Matt, hey, Peter wants one more book read to him. Would you just take a moment? I got to prepare cookies." I don't know what she's doing today. He said, "Okay." And I was surprised. I'm looking at him. He just did it without any argument. "No, yeah, sure." He goes, you know, comes back a little while later. And Leah's storming around the house. And she says, "Matt, Elise, she can't find her little puppy dog. I think it might be out in your car. Will you go check?" And I'm just waiting for the reaction, right? He goes, yeah, sure. Gets up, goes check. He comes back. We're watching for like 15 minutes. "Hey, Matt, I need to bring one of these trays of cookie out to the back house. You know, can you grab it?" He looks at me with that look like, if she asks one more thing, I'm going to kill her. Right? We don't have to be martyrs to be servants. And we don't have to give away everything like Blessed Pier Giorgio. But we all have that same call, every single one of us. And there are 1,000 ways to serve every single day, and probably above all at home, with your siblings, with your kids, with your wife, with your husband. The more we follow Christ, the more we do so unbegrudgingly, without complaint. And actually, over the course of time, we ought to find joy in being the least of all and placing ourselves last. And we ought to get to a point where it's to such a degree that we would actually rather remain anonymous in what we're doing. And I close with this example. This sister, this Dominican sister, is no longer here at our parish. I didn't know she'd done this until afterwards. The superior of the convent, Sister Maximil Marie, our former principal, she came to me at the end of a month, or at the beginning of the next month, and she said, "Father, when you look at the bank statement from last month, you're going to find about a $30 charge from the school." And she said, I just want to let you know what that was for. She said, one of the sisters came to me and she'd noticed that each day one of our students, a young boy, was carrying his books to school every day. And after seeing this for a few days, she says to him, don't you have a backpack? You know, why do you carry those every day? Sometimes it was laborious, heavy books. And he says, you know, there was a hole in my backpack, and my parents said that right now we're not able to afford one. So the superior says to me, so the sister said, can the school buy a new backpack for him? I know that we've taken a vow of poverty, so the sisters can't go out and buy one. But I thought that if I took a cold shower every day for the next month, it would probably pay off that backpack. I was moved to tears. This sister took a cold shower every day for a month so that a poor kid could have a backpack. If you wish to be great, make yourself the servant of all and the slave of all.